الله رب العالمين والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So when we were on our way for Umrah, alhamdulillah, I was flying and I was looking at the map on the screen in front of me on the airplane, and I was taking note of all the places we were flying over. And at that particular time going into the trip, alhamdulillah, I think probably most of the people who were with us, and anyone who goes for that matter, you feel sort of blessed, right? You feel sort of special, if I may. And, you know, you think about all the people, right? All the Muslims that are obviously in the country, in our communities, and especially when flying over Turkey, right? You're flying over areas with high concentration of Muslims, Muslim countries, or cities in England, right, Manchester and so on, with high population of high concentration of Muslims, you know, you feel pretty blessed. And you say, you know, subhanAllah, out of, you know, all of these people, first of all, and on top of that, Muslims, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us, has given us the opportunity to visit His house, to visit the resting place of His beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, You sort of feel that, you know, there's so many people below us over whom we're flying right now that probably deserved more than I did, right, to be on this journey and to make this trip. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this opportunity. So you feel very hopeful, you feel very thankful and very grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a lot of hope, right? And you're feeling very positive. But after you arrive, it's a bit of a different story, right? Because, you know, you go to, for example, so you went to Medina first, right? So you go to Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And mashallah, you know, it's time for Fajr. There's two adhans, right, for Fajr. Like an hour before the actual adhan and then the actual adhan for Fajr. And at that during that whole period, people are just like rushing towards the masjid, right? There's just like streams of people, even now, even though it's not Hajj season. Right, you just have like rivers of people just going towards the masjid. And you go there and, you know, you find yourself in like, I don't know, the 50th row or the 100th row, right, in the masjid. And you sort of think, okay, maybe I'm not so special after all, right? Because because obviously so many other people have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have been given this opportunity. And to make matters even worse, then, you know, I started thinking about the history, right? And all of the people that have walked on that same ground, right? And, you know, thinking back, you know, to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even, you know, after that, the tabi'un, those who came after them, all the pious, you know, scholars, and, you know, the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have come to the same place, right? Who came and left, obviously. And all of a sudden you start thinking, you know, where does that leave me, right? Where does that leave me? Out of all of these people, you know, our attitude should be that, you know, everyone that we see, right, everyone around us is better than myself, right? Because, you know, I have a lot of shortcomings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sure has given me the opportunity to be there, but He's also brought all these other people who are probably more sincere than I am, you know, whose worship, whose salat is probably better in quality than mine's, right? So it's at that point, you know, at that point, the reality started sinking in for me that, you know, if I feel like this in this crowd of people, of about a million or so people, right, around me, and I feel almost hopeless thinking that if everyone's better than me and is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, you know, like I feel pretty hopeless. And then you start thinking about the Day of Judgment, right? And you start thinking about the Day of Judgment that, you know, if I'm feeling like this right now and only, you know, amongst about a million people or so, you know, imagine how it's going to be on the Day of Judgment, when not only will you have all of these people who are around you, but also right? Every single Muslim, every single believer, right? Every single human being that has walked on this earth or that was ever born, right? Since the time of Adam alayhi salam. So unfortunately for me, you know, it took me this long journey, such a long journey for this reality to really sink in. And in reality, this, what I've just described, is really what the approach of the believer should be. Right? The approach of the believer should be of the same. That you have hope, right? But at the same time, you have fear as well. Because, you know, generally we find two types of people, right? There are some who are in the middle, but generally you'll find two types of people. So people who are optimists, right? People who are always optimistic. People who are pessimists, right? So the optimists will always see everything positively. Even in the worst of situations, will, you know, look at the bright side, will find, you know, the silver lining in the situation, and are always hopeful. And these type of people are generally very hopeful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, right? So they always like to think of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like to think about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so all of these types of things. Sometimes what happens that a person gets carried away to the point where he or she becomes careless in their deeds, and, you know, even becomes unmindful in hopes of getting this love and forgiveness, right? So it's good to think positively, right? It's good to think positively, especially of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes that becomes a type of excuse for us, where we start being unmindful, we start being ungrateful, we start being heedless, thinking, well, you know, Allah is merciful, Allah is forgiving, you know, inshallah everything will be alright. We have that type of attitude. On the flip side, you find the eternal pessimist, right? So no matter what comes up, right, even if it's the most minor thing, everything is difficult, right? Everything is impossible. You know, any situation is hopeless. And everything that, you know, this person talks about is based on, you know, fear. And there's a you know, a terrible, fearful end for everything. You know, even the most minor mistakes are treated like, you know, like as if it's a matter of belief and disbelief, or, you know, it's just doom and gloom afterwards. And anyone, you know, who makes a mistake, who commits a sin, you know, who has a shortcoming, is just written off. That, you know, that's it. You know, you have no hope left. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive you. And, you know, that type of very negative type of attitude, right? So always focused on punishment and fear and those type of things. In the Quran, Allah azza wa jal tells us about both aspects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about both aspects. So giving hope about His mercy, giving hope about His forgiveness, but also striking fear about His punishments as well, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم. So be sure, right? Make it clear. Don't kid yourselves, right? Be sure that Allah is severe in punishment, and that Allah is very forgiving and very merciful as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about both. He talks about His punishment, very severe punishment, but also talks about being very forgiving and being very merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that when we make dua, right? When we make dua, what should be our state? وَدُعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Right? So invoke Allah, supplicate to Allah with fear and with hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about the qualities of the pious believers. What does He say? تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. That their sides forsake their beds, meaning they get up, they forsake their sleep, to invoke their Lord in fear and hope. خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And in fact, one of the qualities of the prophets, عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, is just that. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. And they used to call us with hope and with fear. So both of these qualities should ideally be present, right? In our minds, in our consciousness, in our, especially when we are, you know, doing acts of worship, when we are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are trying to, you know, when we are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of these qualities should be present, and our approach should not be one-sided. Now the question is, fear of what and really hope of what? Right? What exactly are we talking about here? So for a believer, there should be fear of a few things, of a number of things, actually. Fear that my level of faith, that the level of my faith, right, the strength of my iman, the trust that I have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my tawakkul in Allah, is not at the level that He wants it to be. Right? That my iman, my strength, the strength of my faith, is not where it should be ideally. Right? The amount of trust that I have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a manager of my affairs is not where it should be. You know, because the level of our iman is such that, you know, if I'm standing here right now, or if I'm praying here right now, the strength of my faith is at a particular level, right? When I was in Makkah al-Mukarrama, in Madinah al-Munawwara, then boom, right? It went up a bit. So that's how volatile our iman is, right? That if we find ourselves in a good place, if we find ourselves surrounded with, you know, good company, in a good environment, right, which is conducive to our faith, which is conducive to our deen, you know, our faith, or the strength of our iman, right, shoots up. But if we find ourselves somewhere else where it's not the same, where it's different, then the strength of our iman goes down, right? But this is not something which is unique to us today, right? This is not something that is unique to us today. Even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the companions would think about this, radiyallahu anhum, right? The famous story is that of Hamzalah radiyallahu anhu, right, where he thought that when he realized that the way he was feeling about his iman was not the same, or rather there was a difference in how he felt about the strength of his iman when he was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and when he was not, right? So he felt that when he was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other companions, his faith felt very really, you know, powered up, and he felt there was strength in it. But when he returned home to his family, to his children, he felt like his faith had weakened. And that's why he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Nafaqa Hanzala," right? That Hanzala has become a munafiq, a'udhu billah, right? That he is a hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What are you talking about?" Right? So he told him about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, that's okay. You know, this is normal. It happens, right? It happens, because if that didn't happen, you would all be like angels. Right? You would all be like angels, but you're human beings. So this is a natural state, but that's how it is." So imagine if that was happening to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in his company, right? Imagine where we are today then, right? Imagine our state. So, you know, that is how our iman is, but, you know, the true believer will be afraid about that, right? The true believer will be concerned about that, just as we see that Hamzalah radiallahu anhu was concerned about that, right? So to have this fear about our faith, that is it really, you know, at the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept it at, right? Or is it below that threshold, right? Is it at the point where it starts putting us in the level of, you know, with the grouping of the munafiqeen, right? Of the hypocrite, and so on. And so that's one of the things that a believer would be afraid of, right? So there's a real fear that, you know, is my faith really strong enough? Is, you know, all the things that I say, that I profess, that I believe in, when I say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, everything that it entails, is that, you know, really representative of how I feel, right? How I truly feel when I say that. So that's one type of fear. Then there's the fear of turning to shirk, right? Or turning to disbelief, or turning to nifaq, like I said, to hypocrisy, right? Because, you know, we do many things in our lives. Right, in our daily lives we make numerous decisions, right? Numerous choices. And, you know, we may be doing something unknowingly, right? Which may be putting us in the category of doing some type of shirk, right? Of associating some type of partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe not directly, right? Maybe not openly, but there should be that fear, right? Or, you know, also the fear of what will be our state at the time of death. Right? Alhamdulillah, we are here today. We are offering salah. We are here for Jumu'ah. Right? We're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, this is wonderful. This is great. And this is a sign of iman, of course. But a believer is never fully content and never fully satisfied to think that, okay, now that I'm, you know, offering my 5-time salah and I'm fasting and I'm, you know, fulfilling all the 5 pillars of Islam, I'm good now. I have nothing to worry about. Inshallah, I got a direct pass into Jannah. Right? This is not the attitude of the believer. Right? The believer is concerned that, you know, what if something happens? Right? What if something happens between this time and the time of death that takes me away from Iman? Right? That takes me away from the straight path. What if at the time of death, because the time of death is a difficult time, right? Now, of course, nobody is around to talk about it and say how it felt, right? Because it's a one-way street, right? So you can't, you know, call up someone and say, okay, how was it? Tell me about it, right? But we know, right, when we look at what the Prophet ﷺ has told us, right? When we look at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find out that it is not an easy time. Right? It is not an easy time. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ made dua, right, repeatedly, extensive dua, for protection at the time of death. Protection and the pangs of death, right? So when that time comes upon us, right, when that time comes upon us, and we start, you know, feeling the trials and tribulations, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, but will our faith be strong enough to withstand that? Right? These are things that a believer should be concerned about. You know, what if something happens at the last minute, right? During the final few moments that a person is conscious that I make a wrong decision, right? Or I do something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or ma'adallah, that takes away my iman. Right? So these are things to be concerned about. Fear that my worship may be deficient, right? Because this is something that we are presenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is something that our acts of worship, our acts that we present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there should be a constant fear that perhaps my worship will not be up to the standards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting. It may not be up to the standards, the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting. Right? If you're a purchaser, right, for a company or for your home, right, and you order a product, right, you order something from a store or a type of service or anything, right, and if it doesn't meet your standards, right, if it doesn't meet your expectations, what do? Most chances are you'll send it right back. Right? You'll take it back to the store, you'll tell the service provider, you'll tell whoever you ordered it from that it doesn't meet my standards for quality, right? It doesn't meet my specifications, so therefore take it back and send me a new batch. Right? The believer will be afraid about that. That what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that? Right? So if you tried, let's say, you know, 50-50, sort of thought, okay, I should be doing this, so you did it. But, you know, perhaps it wasn't the best of quality. And at that time, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, oh, you know, it wasn't good enough, it didn't meet the specifications, right? It didn't meet the standards, there's no going back then. Right? There's no going back and saying, okay, well, let me go do it again and then I'll come back. Present it, no. Right? There's no second chance. So a believer will be worried about all of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about the believers, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. One of the qualities of the believers, those who give whatever they give, right, in terms of charity and so on, with their hearts full of fear. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. Right, with their hearts full of fear. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this particular verse. He says, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. That, you know, this verse that we recite, those who give whatever they give with their hearts full of fear. أَهُوَ الَّذِي يَزْنِي وَيَسْرِقُ وَيَشْرِقُ الْخَمْرُ. That are these the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is He referring to people who, you know, have committed adultery, who have committed zina, who have stolen, who have, you know, consumed alcohol? Are these the people who, you know, who have fear in their hearts? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies and he says, O daughter of Abu Bakr, وَلَكِنَّهُ الرَّجُلُ يَصُومُ وَيَتَصَدَّقُ وَيُصَلِّي وَهُوَ يَخَافُ أَن لَا يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْ. That no, these are the people who have fasted. Right? These are the people, the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here, who have fear in their hearts, are those who have fasted, who have given charity, who have prayed, but they are afraid, أَن لَا يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْ, that it may not be accepted from them. Right? So this is, again, the quality of, or the state of, the believers. Fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If a person thinks that, like I said, oh, I'm a believer, I'm good, I have nothing to worry about, this is not a sign of belief. This is not a sign of true iman. Right? A person who has this type of attitude, this is not a sign of true iman. Rather, if the true believer will be afraid of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only in the hereafter, but also in this world as well. Right? Aisha radiallahu anha, again, says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever he saw clouds or winds, signs of deep concern would appear on his face. And we're talking about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever he would see clouds or winds, signs of deep concern would appear on his face. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah, when people see clouds, they usually feel happy, right? Hoping that it would rain. Because of course we're talking about the climate there, right? So people, when they normally see clouds, they get happy, hoping that it would be rain. While I see that when you see clouds, one could notice signs of dissatisfaction on your face. Right? So normally people are getting happy when clouds come, right? Thinking that it's going to rain. Why do I see that, you know, there are signs of dissatisfaction and unhappiness on your face? So he said, Ya Aisha. Oh Aisha, what is the guarantee for me that there will be no punishment in it? Since some people were punished with a wind. Verily some people saw the punishment, or they received, you know, the clouds, the wind, but while seeing the cloud they said, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُونَ. Right, this is from the Quran, that this cloud will give us rain. Right, so this was the approach of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While he was alive, and he would even see winds, feel winds, see clouds, it would create concern. Why? Because there was fear that, you know, what if this is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa taala? You know, other people got happy in the past, right, thinking that oh, this is rain that's coming that we need, but instead it was the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa taala. So this is the state of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when we recite Maliki Yawm al-Din, right? In Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, very interesting, because you say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Right? So Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment. Right? You're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is He? The Master of the Day of Judgment. Right? So this too, for the believer, should invoke thoughts of fear, right? Because you're talking about the Day of Judgment, it's a day of uncertainty, right? It's the day of your most important exam and the most difficult day that you'll ever face, right? Because you're talking about extreme heat, right? So in Mecca, in Medina, in Mecca especially nowadays, is what, 37, 40 degrees or so, right? Stayed for an hour and a half outside in the sun and I got sick, you know, that night. Okay, so you're talking about the Day of Judgment. You're talking about the Day of Judgment when there's extreme heat and people are, you know, drowning almost in their own sweat. And there's no one to help, right? And yesterday we were in Tafsir, we were reciting an ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Day of Judgment as Yawm al-Tanat, right? The day of calling. Why? Because people are calling one another. People are calling one another. You just hear all types of calling, you know, groans and moaning and calling, help me, you know, so-and-so, help, help, right? That's the type of day, the Day of Judgment, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. Because people will be running around looking for just even one deed, right? One deed from their family members, from people you think or you thought were close to you, you know, your father, your mother, right? Your brother, your sister, right? Your child. People who, you know, you always depended on. But on that day, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Everyone's running away from one another. Why? Because even that one deed is never so valuable on that day, right? Today somebody asks you for a dollar, penny's being phased out. Dollar, right? $10, whatever. Right? No problem. If it's your family member, someone you trust, someone you love. But on that day, even one deed will be so valuable that nobody would want to give it up. And you will say that, yes, my dear son, I love you. Yes, my father, I love you. But not today. Not today. I can't give you. I love you still, but I can't give you that, even that one deed today. Right? So that's the type of day we're talking about. You know, we think about the airport. Again, I keep going back to our trip, right? And there's a long line at the airport and you're waiting to check in or go through immigration and so on. right? That will be the true day of lining up, right? When everyone is lined up, all of humanity, right? Just try to imagine, right? Every single person who's ever been alive, right? Who's ever been born, you know, everyone together, you know, waiting their turn to go through this judgment, subhanAllah. Right? And that's the day where, you know, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Right? Every single little deed that you may have done, right? No matter how small it is, right? Whether good or bad, everything will show up in the x-ray machine there, right? Because, you know, we have things, right? In our luggage, it gets x-rayed, right? There's checking customs immigration, right? There, everything will be opened up for everyone to see. Nothing will be hidden. There will be no secrets, right? So, you know, when you think about all of these things for the believer, for the true believer, there will be, you know, some type of fear of all of these things. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like I mentioned at the beginning, is not telling us to be just fearful, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us to be just fearful, He's also telling us to be hopeful as well, right? Also, be hopeful, and that's the total opposite, right? So yes, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, you know, our worship may be deficient in many ways. Maybe the quality is not the best, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like one of us, right? Like I said, who receives something, if you don't like it, you send it back, or you go return it to the store. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being most merciful, most forgiving, we hope, right? We truly hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our deeds, even with the deficiencies. Yes, we accept, O Allah, that our deeds are not as they should be. Yes, we accept that they are deficient. Yes, we accept that they are lacking, yet we hope, O Allah, that you will accept our deeds, inshaAllah. Right? Hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we repent to Allah, right? If we make tawbah, if we make sincere repentance to Allah, that Allah will accept our repentance, inshaAllah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, O son of Adam, even if you had sins, that if they were piled up, you know, they will reach the sky, even then, you know, I can forgive you and I will forgive you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through various, you know, verses and various words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given us a lot of hope. And talking about, you know, Surah Al-Fatiha, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, right? The most gracious, the most merciful, the most, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having more mercy, right, than a mother does for her child, right? We know how much mercy a mother has for a child, a helpless child, especially a newborn, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has much, much, much more mercy towards His human beings than the mother. So we must be hopeful in Allah's mercy, in Allah's help, His assistance, His care, His love for us, of all human beings, but especially for the believers. And we think of the verse, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, my slaves who have transgressed against themselves. You know, because when you commit a sin, right, when you do something wrong, it doesn't hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't hurt Allah, right? Who does it hurt? First and foremost, it hurts ourselves. So Allah says, those who have transgressed against themselves, despair not. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Despair not of the mercy of Allah. Despair not, no matter what situation you're in, no matter how many sins you have committed, ever, right? Do not despair in the mercy of Allah. If you sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you sincerely want to try to change your ways, do not despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily, Allah forgives all sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, the doors are open. You can, yes, you can turn back and you can turn to Allah, repent for your sins, and inshallah, Allah will forgive everything. Now some scholars have said that you should have equal levels of hope and fear throughout your life, right? So you should be fearful, but at the same time you should be equally hopeful as well. Most of the scholars have said that throughout life, this is interesting, that you should have more fear, and your fear should be more than the amount of hope that you have. But when death approaches, then the hope should go up and the level of fear should go down. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامِ. That I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 days before his passing, يَقُولُ لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ illa wa huwa yuhsinu dhanna billahi azza wa jal. That let none of you die unless he has good expectations from Allah. Let none of you die unless he has good expectations from Allah. So yes, be fearful of all the things that we discussed. But at the same time, especially when the time of death approaches, right? And if you're aware of that, then especially at that time, have good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have good expectations from Allah. And there's a famous saying of Umar radiallahu anhu, that if it were announced from Jannah, if it was announced from the heaven that, O people, you are all entering paradise except for one person. Right? SubhanAllah. If it were announced from the heaven that, O people, you are all entering paradise except for one, then Umar radiallahu anhu says, Umar I'm talking about, radiallahu anhu says, I would fear to be him. I would be afraid that if there was one person who was not entering into Jannah, and the entire, you know, the rest of humanity was entering Jannah, I would be afraid that I would be that one person. And if it were announced that, O people, you're all entering the fire except one, I would hope to be him. Right? So this was the hope and fear that Umar radiallahu anhu had. Right? That if everyone was entering Jannah except for one person, he would be afraid that he was going to be that one. And if everyone was entering the fire except for one person who would be saved, he would hope that it would be him. And finally, I'll end with a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Anas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit a youth who was dying. دَخَلَ عَلَى شَابٍ وَهُوَ فِي الْمَوْتِ. That he entered upon a youth who was dying. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَيْفَ تَجِدُكَ. Right? He asked him, "How are you? How are you doing?" So the boy replied, this is a young boy, a youth. He says, أَرْجُ اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَأَخَافُ ذُنُوبِ. That I am between, O Messenger of Allah, I am in between hoping in Allah and fearing for my sins. So this is a young boy, right? A youth who's on his deathbed. Prophet ﷺ asks him, "How are you doing?" He says, "I am in between hoping in Allah and having good hopes of Allah and fearing for my sins." The Prophet ﷺ said to him, "La yajtami'ani fi qalbi 'abdin fi mithli hadha al-mawtin." That the like of these two qualities do not unite in the heart of a servant, illa a'tahu Allah huma yarju. Do not unite in the heart of a servant except that Allah gives him what he hopes for. وَآمَنَهُ مِمَّا يَخَافُ, and protects him from what he feared. So the Prophet ﷺ told him what? The like of these two qualities. If you have these two qualities, they do not unite in the heart of a servant except, what does Allah do? That Allah gives him what he hopes for and protects him from what he feared. Right? So if we have this type of approach, if you're not overconfident, right? If you're not arrogant in our worship, and thinking that, okay, we're good, we're done, you know, we're saved, inshallah, and if you have hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah, Allah will give us what we hope for and will protect us from what we fear. And really, when you think about this, and I was thinking about this, you know, what is the purpose of all this? Really, if you think about it, is the effect of it is to take out arrogance from us, right? To take out feelings of arrogance. Our feelings of certainty and our sense of entitlement. That okay, that if I'm a believer, I've said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you know, I'm good, I've received a pass, right, to Jannah. To take out that type of sense of entitlement, to take out any arrogance we might have in our worship, that, oh, you know, mashallah, I pray tahajjud every night, you know, I'm better than everyone else. No, because we don't know what is the state of our worship. We don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it or not. So the effect is to take out that type of arrogance, you know, give us some humility, grow the humility inside of us, sincerity inside us, so that, you know, whatever we do it with humbleness, with humility, with sincerity, and we constantly try to improve ourselves, right? If you keep working, keep trying to improve the quality of our worship, try to find, you know, a better environment for ourselves that is conducive to our faith, to our deen, keep striving, working harder and harder, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly be found to be forgiving and merciful, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me on all of us, protect us from the negative qualities that we talked about, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to worship Him and to constantly stay in a state of balance between fear and hope. And certainly when the time of death comes, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the best death which is possible, and He takes us away in a state in which He is pleased with us.